ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
The myth was false, but crucially, it exploded real facts to exert a hold on the public. The leaders of the 1919 communist uprisings in Germany, like the Spartacus uprising in Berlin and the short-lived Bavarian Soviet Republic, were substantially Jewish, which Nazis exploited to promote the idea of a Jewish plot that led to the loss of World War I. For the Nazis, it was never enough to oppose communism. The party routinely blasted the concept of Judeo-Bolshevism, conveniently merging its most hated ideology with a scapegoat ethnic group. From this, it's easy to draw parallels to the endless witch hunt for white supremacy in every sector of American life. Jim Crow was real, and for a century after the Civil War, racism was a very real part of American law and American society. By now, though, institutional and systemic racism is little more than a conspiracy theory. Laws at all levels of government prohibit racial discrimination against blacks, often with severe penalties for doing so. Now, isn't that interesting? But that's what we're seeing. We're seeing groups trying to get us to fight amongst ourselves. Why? Divide and conquer. We're so busy fighting amongst ourselves that they're working behind the scenes doing what they want to do. It's time for us to wake up. Do we really have a problem with racism in this country? No. Are there racists in this country? Absolutely. There will always be racists. That's just the way it is because people are evil. But we didn't have a problem until last year when they brought it forth and they made it a problem. For the Antichrist to unite the world into a one-world government, the America we know today is going to have to fall and be replaced with a global America. That is the goal right now. Edward Gibbons in 1788 wrote a book, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. And he gave five basic reasons why the empire ended. And it wasn't from a war. It was from within. And understand that they tried to promote, in a sense, socialism, paying people, and it just caused them not to work. One of the things he put in there, he said, undermining of the dignity and sanctity of the home, which is the basis for human society. Wow, don't we see that today? We don't even know what a family is anymore. Aren't they working for their cause? Absolutely, we fall and prey to it. Higher and higher taxes, the spending of public money for free bread and circuses for the populace. Yeah. The mad craze for pleasure, sports being coming every year more exciting, more brutal, and more immoral. The building of great armaments when the real enemy was within, the decay of individual responsibility. The decay of religion, faith fading into mere form, losing touch with life, losing power to guide the people. Absolutely. We've moved away from our faith in God. I mean, look at churches today. Now we're trying to really fire up the people. It's like going to a concert. I loved concerts when I was younger. I loved going to Christian concerts. They were awesome. And you get excited. You're jumping up and down. But here's the thing. That's not what church is about. Church is about worshiping God, allowing the Spirit of God to empower us. If I have to do something to pump you up, guess what? When you leave that door, I'm going to have to follow you around and keep pumping you up. But if the Spirit of God has moved you, it doesn't matter where you go because the Spirit of God is always with you. We lost sight. America has to be a socialist nation. In fact, the nations of the world will become socialist. Why? Because the government has to control them. That's the bottom line. And we see that happening here in America at an alarming rate. in saying that, never lose sight of our mission. Our mission is not to keep us a republic in this nation, although that would be awesome, right? I don't say democracy because that's not what it's about. It's about we were a republic, which is different. But our mission is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never lose sight of that. This is in our home. We're aliens and strangers passing through. I'm not saying we throw our arms up in the air and just give up. But I'll tell you what. When people get saved, the government will change. We're trying to change a government that is so corrupt, and it's never going to happen unless the people change and come to Jesus. But look at, again, Revelation 6. Look at verse 5, the third seal. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. And do not harm the oil and the wine." So here is this third horseman of the apocalypse. He's riding a black horse. It represents devastating famine that's going to take place. Now, let's picture this. The red horse represented war and death. And what happens during times of war and during times when dictators are in control? Famine. I mean, that's what we're going to see happening. And why do I think this is a famine? Well, just because of what it says, you know, it takes a quart of wheat for a denarius to buy a quart of wheat and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. And I think in Lamentations 4, verses 8 and 9, we see how this is played out. It says, "Now their appearance is blacker than soot. They go unrecognized in the streets. Their skin clings to their bones. It has become as dry as wood. Those slain by the sword are better off than those who die of hunger, for these pine away, stricken for lack of the fruits of the field." So it's speaking of famine in their appearance. The black color represented famine. And I think it's probably a global famine. It's interesting, though, not everyone's affected by it. This rider on this black horse has a pair of scales in his hand. And he's told that the cost just to obtain the basic necessities of life, food, is going to be really high. A denarius for a quart of wheat and a denarius for 3 quarts of barley. Why the difference? Well, wheat was better for you. Barley had a lower nutritional value. And it was often fed the barley to livestock. But here's the thing. If you had a family, you could purchase more barley than wheat. And you had to do what you could do to support your family, to feed your family. And a denarius was a daily wage for a workman. So it cost you a day's pay to buy 3 quarts of barley that could feed a family of three, a quart of wheat that could feed one person. Let me put it in perspective for you. Say you make $100,000 per year, and I'm using that number because it's easy to figure things out. I'm not really good with math, so I want it easy. There's some 261 work days in 2021, so you would make on average $383 per day. Well, that sounds okay, I guess, but it would cost you $383 a day just to buy food for one day. Wow. So here, hyperinflation, it affects the average person. And if you don't believe that there will be hyperinflation, just wait a few months. They're already talking about there won't be Christmas presents out there in the stores because things are backlogged 6 months. So won't be the toys out there. Where do they come from? China. I wonder what's happening with local farms today. If you start watching who's buying them up, it's the movers and shakers. Family farms are going under. And I find that interesting because if you control the food distribution, you control the people, don't you? Think about it. Oh, you didn't get your COVID shot? You don't get any food. Now, we laugh at that. But they're already talking about that. Sorry, you can't come into the restaurant if you don't have your COVID shot. Well, I'm sorry, I'm sticking by the HIPAA rules. You can't know my personal medical history. It's not going to fly. It's interesting. This is from January 2021. According to the Tri-City Herald, a 14,500-acre swath of choice eastern Washington farmland in the Horsehaven Hills of Benton County had just traded hands for almost $171 million. This is a ginormous deal, one that pencils out to almost $12,000 per acre for the whole lot. Wow. Farmers and investors in mid-Columbian River market expect to pay $10,000 to $15,000 for good ground. Anyone who's ever studied the Columbian River Basin knows that the tillable acreage there is coveted ground, a geological wonder. The soil profile and underlying silty losses are in a league of their own. In 1994, the Gateses hired the former Putnam Investment Bond Fund manager to diversify the couple's portfolio away from the Microsoft co-founder's 45% stake in the technology giant while maintaining comparable or better returns. According to a 2014 profile of Larson in the Wall Street Journal, these investments include a substantial stake in AutoNation, hospitality interests such as the Charles Hotel in Cambridge and the Four Seasons in San Francisco, and at least 100,000 acres of farmland in California, Illinois, Iowa, Louisiana, and other states. According to the Land Report 100 research team, that figure is currently more than twice that amount, which means Bill Gates, co-founder of Microsoft, has an alter ego, Farmer Bill, the guy who owns more farmland than anyone else in America. The Gates' largest single block of dirt was acquired in 2017. A group of farmland assets owned by the Canadian Pension Plan Investment Board, based in Toronto, the Canada Pension Plan Investment Board began assembling an agricultural portfolio in 2013, when it acquired Agricultural Company of America. This private U.S. farmland, REIT, was a joint venture between Dulcanese Capital Management and Goldman Sachs that launched in 2007. Over the next 5 years, they acquired more than 100,000 acres in nine states. Farmers are hurting. And to get that kind of money, they're willing to sell. And family farms, like I said, are becoming a thing of the past as big corporations and wealthy people like Bill Gates are buying them. And they can control what's planted and the cost and who gets the food. Now, what's interesting, and like I said, this is not necessarily across the board because there are some who are going to do very well during this time. John says, do not harm the oil and the wine. What's that? The rich. Don't harm the rich. They're going to be fine. This is not going to be a problem for the rich, the oil and the wine. And we see it today. You know, go to North Korea, Russia. And most of the people are in poverty, except the wealthy, and they live in luxury. They have whatever they want. The poor are having a hard time getting enough food to feed and sustain themselves and their families. And what are they trying to do today? They're trying to equal the wealth of the world. And in doing that, there's only going to be two classes of people, the rich and the poor. The middle class will be done away with. And leaders today talk about balancing the world's wealth. There's no balance. Again, the rich and the poor. Now, I think we see this coming. The United States is not going to be a world power anymore. We're going to lose that status. Is it going to happen soon? I think it is happening. But if you don't believe me, watch our prophecy update from last year, because this is the words from the United Nations on their own video. America will not be a world power. Wait, you're the United Nations, right? You're for all the nations of the world. Now you're telling us that we're not going to be a world power? Absolutely. They said that you will own nothing and you will be happy. Well, who's going to own it all? The government. Isn't that interesting? And you're going to be happy because we just told you you will. Really? I kind of like owning my house and my car and things. You know, I kind of like that. I don't want the government telling me what I can and can't do. We're also getting closer to 2030 and the United Nations 2030 program. I mean, think about it. We're 9 years away, almost 8 years away from that. And this is from their website. And they make it sound really good, but it's not going to play out good for the poor. For the rich, yeah, they're going to do well. And when you think about it, remember before the elections, when the Democratic Party was trying to get a nominee, what were they promoting? Socialism. They weren't even afraid of it. Did you notice that in the debates, they didn't even have an American flag? Why? Because they're socialists. They're not nationalists. They don't care about our country. They're for a global community. I find it fascinating how these things are just falling into place. This is from the United Nations. This agenda is a plan of action for people, a 2030 agenda, for people, planet, and prosperity. It also seeks to strengthen universal peace and larger freedom. We recognize the eradicating poverty in all its forms and dimensions, including extreme poverty, is the greatest global challenge and an indispensable requirement for sustainable development. Do you realize, and this is just me, but there shouldn't be people that are going hungry in the world. You know why? Because we give food all the time to people. There's nations that are trying to provide for people. You know what happens? Remember the big earthquake in Haiti several years ago? All that food came in there. You know who got it? The government. It didn't go to the people. There's the problem. Evil men. We wouldn't have all these problems today, but because of the heart of man. It says all countries and all stakeholders acting in collaborative partnership will implement this plan. We are resolved to free the human race from the tyranny of poverty and want to heal and secure our planet. We are determined to take the bold and transformative steps which are urgently needed to shift the world into a sustainable and resilient path. As we embark on this collective journey, we pledge that no one will be left behind. Sound familiar? The 17 Sustainable Development Goals and the 169 targets which we are announcing today demonstrate the scale and ambition of this new universal agenda. They seek to build on the Millennium Development Goals and complete what these did not achieve. They seek to realize the human rights of all and to achieve gender equality and the empowerment of all women and girls. Really, well, what's going on in Afghanistan right now? Why aren't you there trying to fix that problem? Because the Taliban are raping and murdering and mutilating women. They don't care. And they're for all nations? Well, how come you always vote against Israel? I thought you were for all nations. Obviously, you're not. You have an agenda. We are determined to end poverty and hunger in all their forms and dimensions and to ensure that all human beings can fulfill their potential in dignity and equality and in a healthy environment. We are determined to protect the planet from degradation, including through sustainable consumption and production, sustainably managing its natural resources, and taking urgent action on climate change so that it can support the needs of the present and future generations. We are determined to ensure that all human beings can enjoy prosperous and fulfilling lives and that economic, social, and technological progress occurs in harmony with nature. We are determined to foster peaceful, just, and inclusive societies which are free from fear and violence. There can be no sustainable development without peace and no peace without sustainable development. I disagree. There could be no peace without the Prince of Peace. No matter what you try to do, it's not going to work because the heart of man is evil. And you give these people power and they will take control. And that's what we see happening. At least 155 million people in 55 countries faced acute hunger in 2020. Wow. Things are bad. But understand that these are just the pre-labor pains. The Braxton Hicks contractions, like I said, that are preparing the mother for true labor. And here we see the preparation for the tribulation period to begin with these false labor contractions that will eventually go into labor. And I remember when my son Joe was born. Well, before he was born, when my wife was in labor. She's probably going to kill me for this. But during labor, the contractions were getting pretty tense. And she grabbed me and she said, "Make it stop. I just want to go home." What do you say? It's not going to stop, man. The baby's coming whether you like it or not, whether you're ready or not. The kingdom age is coming, whether people accept it or not. It is going to happen. And I want to focus next time with the remaining, actually, three seals. We don't pick up the seventh seal until chapter 8, but we'll talk a little bit about it next time as well. But also when these events are occurring during this seven-year tribulation period. I think that's important. I think these are the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of the labor pains that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24. And that means the labor is going to get a lot worse. And I'll tell you, these are exciting times, but they could be overwhelming times if we don't set our eyes upon Jesus. I think for us as Christians, you know, hey, praise the Lord, John MacArthur, you know, they came against him and his church for having services and worshiping when you can't worship, at least we couldn't last year. The city council, I believe it was, gave him $800,000 in retribution for what they did to him. I don't think that's going to continue, guys. I think the clampdown against the church is going to grow. And we need to stand together. We need to be praying for each other, encouraging each other. So I'll tell you what, you may be up and I may be down and you could lift me up by encouraging me. And then it could happen the other way. We're going to go through tough times, difficult times. What do we do? How are we going to respond in these situations? I would ask you to pray that God would give me wisdom because I don't know what's going to transpire. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, fall is flu season, right? Are we going into another lockdown? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I need the wisdom of God and what to do. And I would covet your prayers because I think it's going to get tough. But this is not the tribulation period. And it's interesting because there are so many people today that say we're in the tribulation period now and this is happening. How do we know? Because we talked about it tonight that we're not in the tribulation period. The Antichrist. We don't know. We don't know who the Antichrist is, right? The Antichrist is going to be unveiled. He's going to be revealed. He's going to come to power when the first seal is open. So how could we be in the tribulation period? We can't. As we looked at and we studied, as we've been going through Revelation so far, there is no way the church is here. There is no way. Because God will not pour his wrath upon his church, upon believers. And this is the wrath of God. Yes, we face persecution in this world. That's not coming from God. That's from the world. But this judgment is from God upon a Christ-rejecting world. And I'll close with these words in Revelation 3:10, encouraging words. "Because," Jesus said, "you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole earth, testing those who dwell on the earth." What is this trial for? It's for the earth dwellers. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're not earth dwellers. We live here, but the Bible says we are pilgrims, aliens, strangers passing through because our citizenship is in heaven. But this judgment of God is coming upon the earth dwellers. And my prayer is, Lord, let's rescue as many as we can from this coming judgment. Let's get them into the kingdom of God. Give us a boldness to share our faith like never before. Soften the hearts of the people. Pour out your spirit in a powerful way that many would come to saving faith. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. And Lord, you are a gracious and merciful God. You are long-suffering. You have warned this world of what's coming. And for those that reject, they are going to be placed in the midst of your wrath coming upon them. And we pray right now, Lord, pour out your Spirit, soften the hearts of the people that they may come to saving faith. Do a mighty work, not only in us, but through us then, Lord. Empower us by your Spirit to speak forth your word, that many would come into the kingdom of God. We thank you that you are our peace, our comfort, our hope. And we look forward to the day of the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.